Hello, everybody, and welcome to our April 6th Accelerator of Project 4-4. My name is Lisa Ashton. I work in adult ministries at Christ Community Church. And today we cover 2 Samuel 2 through 4 and 1 Chronicles 12. As you can tell, I'm pretty excited today, and I'm wearing this beautiful crown with all these great jewels, if you haven't already noticed, in honor of the fact that today is the day that David is finally throne over all of Israel. And we get to read this crazy dramatic story to find out how it all goes down. So I'm going to do my best to describe to you the events that lead up to David becoming king over all of Israel. And I'm even going to be able to give you a little visual that will hopefully help as well. So let's get at it. First, let's be reminded of the characters that we read about today. We have David himself, who accepted the invitation of Judah to become its king. We have Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, who became king over the rest of Israel after his father's death. And we have Abner, Saul's relative and general, who set Ish-bosheth up in his kingdom. And Joab, a military power on the side of David and a man with a very bad temper. Okay, so the first thing to mention here was Saul's death. Is that there is chaos in Israel. The princes of Judah have already been wooed by the gifts that David sent after he recovered the plunder taken by the Amalekites at Ziklag. And they remember that Samuel has already declared that David is the choice of God for the throne. Since the relationship with him is strong already, they proceed to invite him to become the king of Judah, if not all of Israel. In other quarters, however, the esteem for David is not quite so high. Abner is a relative of Saul and the general of the armies of Israel, or at least what is left of them after the debacle at Gilboa. David to him is still the enemy. His recent alliance with the king of the Philistines is all the reason Abner will ever need to cast doubts in the minds of most loyal Israelites about accepting David as their king. He probably viewed David as a traitor. Abner, who obviously had plans for political power himself, if not the throne, took as much of the army as he could to resurrect and began to work for the establishment of Ish-bosheth as the next king of Israel. All right, so I'm going to have a little sketch here and see if this can help you understand a little bit more of the characters and what's going on. So I'm going to grab this camera. All right, you love my artwork here? Okay. So here we have Ish-bosheth as king over Israel, Abner as his general, and we have David as king of Judah. Now we read in our text that a civil war broke out between David's men and Abner's men. What started out to be a hand-to-hand competitive skirmish resulted into a battle to the death. Why they just kind of challenged each other to a who can throw the spear the farthest or lift the heaviest rock, I don't know. I know they didn't have WWF then or boxing, but, I mean, come on. So they ended up grabbing 12 guys of each side and said, hey, let's do this thing. And they ended up, as the saying goes, go big or go home. Well, they went big all right, and the consequences ended up rippling through the story the rest of the day. As we can see and expected, David won. But here's what happened. Some of David's men, which we have these guys right here, Asahel, and Abishai, it's a hard one to say, and Joab, these three guys decided, you know what, maybe we can try and kill Abner and better set David up to be thrown over all of Israel. So this guy Asahel, which we read was fleet-footed, pursued Abner. Abner told him to stop. He didn't. So what does Abner do? He ends up taking him out. Okay? So Abner killed Asahel by stabbing in the stomach. All right, so remember that, because Joab is Asahel's brother. And that obviously didn't make him too happy when that happened. Okay, so there's our first death of the day. Well, this war continues, and the text tells us that it continued for a very long time. And in the midst of the war, we read that David's rule became stronger and stronger, and Saul's side, Ish-bosheth's rule, became weaker and weaker. Well, the plot thickens. As the war continues, we read in 2 Samuel 3:6 that Abner is strengthening his position. Okay, so remember, he might have had intentions to try and become king himself. All right, so now Abner is strengthening his position. So naturally, Ish-bosheth might feel threatened by that.
So what does he do? He reacts. And Ishbosheth ends up accusing Abner of having relations with Ishbosheth, his father's, which is Saul, Saul's concubine. So we have a woman that enters the picture here. Good my art is. Okay, so he accuses him of having relations with Saul's concubine. So this infuriates Abner, and he's like, well, you know what? To get back at you, Ishbosheth, I might try and make an agreement with David. So what he does is he approaches David and says, hey, do you want to make an agreement? Well, David sees this as an opportunity to maybe get something that he wants, and he says, you know what? Okay, under one condition. If you give me my wife, Michal, back. Do you guys remember Michal? Last time he saw her, he was fleeing out of a window, fleeing for his life. So this is like a soap opera, right? So Abner says, okay, we'll make that agreement. So David ends up getting his wife back. We have another here. So Michal, and if you remember, Michal is the daughter of Saul. So David thought, well, maybe if I get Michal, this might help me better chances to assume the throne by getting my wife back. All right, so now we have an agreement that is made between Abner and David. So next, Abner and the elders of Israel want to make David their king of the northern tribes. But don't forget, we have a problem here because Ishbosheth is still king over that area. Well, mutual trust and respect are growing between the two. And just when you think that things are straightening out, Joab, remember this guy down here who hadn't forgot what happened to his brother, decides to get revenge, and he says, you know what, I'm going to kill Abner. So Joab ends up taking Abner out. And he stabs him in the stomach too, so that's number two of the day. And news of Abner's death is absolutely crushing to David. And David weeps and mourns, and as a punishment, David decides he's going to place a curse on Joab that is devastating and will affect Joab and his family for generations. So now, after the death of Abner, Ishbosheth, we read, loses courage. Because remember, Abner was really supportive of Ishbosheth in the beginning. So Ishbosheth loses courage, and our drama for the day concludes when some of his own men, which are Benjaminites, turns on him and decides to murder him. So now Ishbosheth is taken out, and he's stabbed in the stomach as well. So that's stabbing number three for the day. Okay, so now we have Abner out and Ishbosheth out. And so what does that mean? That means that this sets up David and solidifies him as heir to the throne. Israel responds and says, hey, David, we're going to anoint you as king over all of Israel. So for the next 33 years, David reigned for a total of, for the next 33 years, it becomes the golden age of Israel. David reigned for a total of 40 years, 7.5 with Judah and 33 with Israel. And this golden age will continue through the reign of David's son Solomon. But Israel will never again see anything like the days of David the great king until the king that is greater than David, which is Jesus, ascends to the throne at the beginning of the millennial kingdom, which is yet to come. All right, so that's it for our picture.
Well, congratulations. You made it through another reading of today's crazy life of David. And I want to remind you that even in the midst of crazy, God's divine purposes for David come into fruition. No person, no military strategy, no political agenda, no scheme of the enemy could keep God from orchestrating his plan for the man after his own heart. This is Lisa Ashton reminding you that whatever crazy that you may be experiencing right now, God is about working all things together for good to those that love him and to those that are called according to his purpose. He did it for David, and he can do it for you too. Peace.